Hello, everybody. This is your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter, Dr. Diana Wiley. So pleased that you're tuned in, and some of you later will be listening to this on the archived version. My guest is once again, he was here last month on December the 13th, Dr. Mark Schoen, filmmaker and a sex educator. Welcome back to the program, Dr. Mark.
Thank you, Diana. Happy New Year.
Yes, yes, we're starting 2017, and well, it's apt to be an interesting year. But let's stay focused. I don't really want to get into politics too much, because that's a whole
nother. Thank you.
We did a little bit last time. It's sort of hard to avoid. But yes, you got refreshed for the new year because you had some trips away at sort of opposite ends, Mexico and Canada. Let our listeners in on just a little bit of that and how you did get refreshed, if you did.
Well, I went with family to Isla Mujeres, which is an island off the coast of Cancun.
Mm-hmm.
And relaxed on the beach in 80-degree weather.
Oh, that sounds great.
And ate great Mexican food.
Yeah.
Then came home for Christmas Day.
Uh-huh.
And the next day went to Mont Tremblant, which is north of Montreal, and skied for a week. So.
Yeah. So you had extremes. But
yes.
Was it stimulating but also relaxing?
Yeah, it was relaxing. It was stimulating. I was a little exhausted from skiing, but had a good time. It's a good kind of exhaustion.
Yes, yes. It's good for you that you're still doing it, because you must be somewhere around 50 now. I've forgotten.
I'm 67.
Oh, my goodness. See, I've known you for years, and, yep. Of course, you look way younger. And,
well, thank you.
And so, 67, well, and people can see your picture from the December 13th show, along with a description of what that show was about, if they go to my website, drdianawiley.com. And I think you posted something about this program today on your Facebook page.
Yes. Yes, yeah. I did.
Yeah, good. So when Dr. Mark Schoen was here last time, we talked about his fabulous website, which is in its 10th year now, or how many years have Sex Smart Films been up?
Ninth year, I believe.
Ninth year, okay. Ninth year. And so I've joined it in the past, and I rejoined it actually last night.
Well, and, good.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you have to realize it's a bargain.
It is a bargain.
You have access to 430 films for the cost of a couple of DVDs. So
it's really true. It's absolutely true. And I went back on it today. I spent about an hour on it last night and went back on it today. And under the education tab, spent a lot of time on disability, which I want to talk about some of your films about disability today. And then because you're working on a documentary with Dr. Mitch Tepper, Making Love After War.
Right.
So I really want to talk about both the documentary you're doing, but the disability tab. And everything's so clear and easy to navigate on Sex Smart Films. A colleague of mine, Dr. Serena McKenzie, ordered some of your I told her that you'd been on the show, and she wanted your prescription pads. These are very good because, and I use them, so you can tell your patients, your clients, what films you suggest they watch. And some of them are, talk about how they can either sign up, like I did for a year, for only $99 with unlimited access, but what else can they do on sexsmartfilms.com?
Well, a common, you know, someone will go to a therapist and a therapist will recommend that they watch the sensate focus exercise that deals with sexual anatomy and physiology. And basically, they'll pay 99 cents and watch this film. It's a pay-per-view.
Right.
And then they can do a one-month subscription for $17, a three-month subscription for $34, or a one-year for $99. And then we have other subscriptions for universities. And so there are lots of options. But we have everything from 30-second commercials from 50 different countries to feature-length documentary films. So it's quite a resource. And one of the reviews recently called it the Netflix of sex education.
Yes, and that's a headline on Sex Smart Films, and I think it's really true. You know, I recommend sensate focus exercises to many of my clients, and actually, I've sent them to Sex Smart Films, but actually on your education disability page, there is a really good one that shows Dr. Mitch Tepper, Pleasure Maps, The Importance of Touch, mm-hmm. with Dr. Susan Kay, who's a Tantra teacher, and they're using Liberator furniture, bedroom furniture. And it just, it shows it so beautifully, the simple head, face, and neck caress, and the breathing they do, quieting the mind, taking in the touch. And Dr. Yeah. Sue, yeah, it's just, it's really, really, it would help so many of my clients to go to that. And if I hadn't been exploring around, clicking around, I wouldn't have found that.
Well, we've added so many films in the last few months that
yeah.
it's hard to keep up.
Right.
But,
and I think that one was done in 2012.
It was
maybe?
Done in the I'll tell you in a second. It was done in the last couple of years. I'll
yeah.
tell you that. It was done in 2012. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, so. But up there you have, and it's very easy to find what you want, because on the right side are descriptions, and you can click on those and it gives you more. But you have aging, arousal, consent, disability, female and male sexuality, gay and lesbian issues, masturbation, and sexual power play. That's another one that some of my clients who are interested in that could benefit from seeing that.
Well, we keep expanding the range and the number of titles in each category.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we have films that are very, very old, and we have films that are very, very new. So we're trying to be an archive as well as a resource. So you can probably find just about anything you're looking for. And people have said to me, I'm looking for such and such a kind of film. And I said, I don't have it, but let me see if I can get it. And very often I do.
And then you probably, if it's worthwhile, you incorporate it in your Sex Smart Films.
Yes.
Yes.
So
I'm interested in, I suppose it depends on the original source of it, but is it complicated to, and maybe even sometimes expensive to get the rights, or how does the process work?
It varies.
Mm-hmm.
There are some films that people just wanted them to be out there,
mm-hmm.
and they give me the rights. There are some where I have to pay a royalty.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on the film.
Right.
And who made the film?
Yes, I would guess.
Planned Parenthood had given me a lot of films.
Mm-hmm.
The Kinsey Institute had given me some films.
Yes.
So there are individuals who will give me a film and then in the copy promote something of theirs and put a link to it so people will go from my site to their site. So we
like
do some
with
cross-
liberator.com in
yes.
a disability.
Yes.
And well, I was glad to see that because that bedroom furniture has been helpful to a number of my clients. Especially,
yeah.
And it was very well demonstrated with Dr. Mitchell Tepper, you know, because he's in a chair and like just I mean you don't think about these things, but he's sitting on his butt all day in the wheelchair, and so it's nice for him, and this is shown, and they're closed, but he's got a wedge behind him so he can sit up straight, so then his partner can sit on him. But the Liberator furniture really helps.
Yeah, I mean, Mitch is, I consider him an authority on sexuality and disability.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really getting the word out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember back in the day, in the early 70s, they made a film called, quote, Sex and the Handicapped in Sweden. And
oh,
that
I
was
did watch a bit of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was, I believe it was made in 1972 or 4, and that was quite revolutionary. And we have that film on the site. But if you look at what's come out since,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've come a long way. We still have a long way to go.
Yeah. Of course, Sweden and some of the Scandinavian countries have always been ahead of the curve in terms of sexuality. There was a doctor, Marta somebody, I can't remember her name now, in that
Swedish... My Bergström Ballen.
Yes, and she was, in 1991, I got to know her a little bit in Amsterdam at the World Congress for Sexology.
Uh-huh.
So she stayed active. I mean, she, you know, her hair was a little whiter than it was in 73 mm-hmm. in the Swedish film, but... Yeah, the Swedes and the Norwegians and the Danes, they've always been more progressive, haven't they?
Yeah, well, it has to do with the sexual attitudes in their country.
Yeah.
And because they're more comfortable with sexuality, they allow education. And, you know, our attitudes are prohibitive when it comes to education.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Yeah. It's true. And of course, you and I touched on this last month a little bit, that we have way more sexually transmitted diseases in the United States and unwanted teenage pregnancies because our sex education is woefully lacking.
Yes.
And,
Sweden and Finland have mandatory sex education
uh-huh.
beginning in primary school.
Well, that is so important. And, yeah, you mentioned Finland. We can't forget Finland.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, if you go to a beach in Sweden,
mm-hmm.
children up to the age of 7 don't wear bathing suits.
Mm-hmm.
And no one thinks anything of it. It's
right.
very... And so nudity is not equated with sexuality. And they're comfortable with nudity. You see nudity on television.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
I think, as I said, told you last time,
yeah.
they do censor violence.
Oh, yes.
Which
reduced violence, yes.
So nudity is okay, but violence is something that they actually censor it on some of the shows.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling that in the United States, some people would rather have their children or their teenagers watch violence than to watch sexually explicit, well-done films. So it's...
You know, when you talk about instructional films, Mm-hmm. And you think about any subject.
Yeah.
You know, films are an important part of our educational process.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about history, art, you know, think of a subject, and there are lots of instructional films. And it's not controversial, but because we're dealing with sexuality, any film that comes out is a controversy, and I've experienced that firsthand.
Yeah, talk about that, if you will, because I know you've made a number of films.
Well, here, I'll give you a good example. About 6-7 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I got the rights to a Danish children's book called The True Story of How Babies Are Made.
Yeah.
And we made it into a 4.5-minute animated film.
And it's wonderful. So, people can watch that on your website.
Yeah, it's
really
four and
helps
a half
with sex education for your children.
So it's 4.5 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came out here in the United States, I had people saying, do you think I can show this in a high school? Where this book was made for 4-year-olds.
Right.
And it was shown to 4-year-olds in Denmark. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have a long way to go.
Well, and you're helping make the difference.
We're trying.
Yes. And, yes, you're, because Sex Smart Films is used in a number of universities, and you probably have a different sort of subscription rate for academics.
Yeah, that there are some universities where a whole department will subscribe, and some subscribe and give students access as well. So, yeah,
yes.
there are
yes.
lots of...
Yes. So, and one of your... we talked a bit about this last time, and that has to do with the most viewed videos. And you had said, I just want to repeat it, but I encourage any of you listening to go back to last month, December 13th, to hear part one with Dr. Mark Schoen. But you talked about most viewed videos, sensate focus exercises.
Becoming Orgasmic, the film.
And The Science of Orgasm, right, Becoming Orgasmic. Now, one of those is kind of dated, but it's all right. It's still, the information is right. It's still, and Joseph Lopiccolo, geez, I'm old enough that I remember him. He was, well, his book by the same name, Becoming Orgasmic.
Right, and the film is based after the book.
Yes.
It's Becoming Orgasmic by Joseph Lopiccolo and Julia Hyman. And it's
right.
still in print.
Still in print. It's a very good book. And what's up there is good because a lot of women, of course, I see them because of my practice, but have trouble with orgasm. And so this can really help, and they also realize that they're not alone.
Well,
yes.
This film addresses that in a very matter-of-fact way, and you actually see a woman go through the process of learning to have an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And the role that her partner, her husband in this case, can play, and...
Right. At the beginning, it's her alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she gets comfortable, she brings in her partner and explains what she's learned and
mm-hmm.
helps teach him to do what pleases her so she can achieve or have an orgasm.
Right. And, of course, at the basis of all of that is, as is true for every aspect of sexuality, is communication.
Yeah.
And I noticed that Dr. Mitch Tepper said at the end of one of the films, it was about ED, and erectile dysfunction with disabilities, and he said that there are many medicine cabinets or cabinets that have pills and vacuum devices and all of that just sitting there left unused because the couple hasn't communicated about it.
Yeah, and Mitch's film really says it well.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
yes,
then we have the film A Man's Guide to Stronger Erections, which is dealing with erectile issues in men.
Yes.
And that's a very popular film.
Diagnosing erectile problems you have.
That's an older one. And then,
1981.
Another one that's really popular is You Can Last Longer, Solutions for Ejaculatory Control.
Yeah.
That one gets a lot of views.
Yeah.
So
That's right. These are all very common presenting problems in my practice. And you also have another one, 12 Ways to Boost Your Libido.
Yes.
Focusing on oxytocin. And then that's where you have the Sensate Focus exercises number one with Dr. Staten. I'm mispronouncing his last name. I know
Bill
him too.
Staten. And
yeah.
Those Sensate Focus exercises, there are 7 exercises in all, and we made it the film 3 times. Pardon me. Once with 2 gay couples, once with 2 lesbian couples, and once with 2 heterosexual couples.
Excellent.
So, and what's interesting is the scripts are identical. The only thing that's different, excuse me.
I know you're getting over a cold. Thank you, Mark, for coming on despite your difficulties here.
But the only thing that's different in these films are the pronouns.
Right.
So it just shows you how sexuality is similar despite sexual orientations.
Yeah, lately I've been working with a number of lesbian couples, and that's one of the things I say. That, you know, because we're basically doing cognitive behavioral therapy, and so Sensate Focus is very common. And I say that. You might make an adjustment here or there, but otherwise it's pretty much the same. So the only thing different is the pronouns. Yeah. Now I'm sounding like a mother, but do you have a cough drop?
I have one in my mouth.
Oh, good. Okay. I was thinking that it might be a good segue, because we've been talking about sex smart films. I just can't recommend this website enough to people. But under your education, because you have therapy, you have education, and you have research. And
right.
Those are the three, aren't those the three basic?
Those are the three major categories.
Categories.
And then under each of those are all the subcategories.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me talk for a minute while you suck on your cough drop. Under the education, so far I've looked at, I went to the disability knowing we'd be talking about the documentary you're working on with Dr. Mitchell Tepper. So I watched France, The Lover,
mm-hmm.
and I'll give an overview of what I watched so far, and then while you're working on your voice, and then I'd like for you to describe a little bit more about it. I can do some of the description, but and then facilitated sex. And Dr. Mitchell Tepper, he And he is, by the way, the founder of Sexual Health Network. And, you know, he says, especially with disabled people, you have to schedule sex. I have so many clients who are able-bodied who don't want to schedule sex. They think it should always be spontaneous. But we need to put sex on the calendar and schedule it. And you can plan a night out on the town and have plenty of fun, spontaneous fun within that plan. But you got to get it on the calendar. And I talk about the DINS syndrome, which is double income, no sex, and uh-huh. away from disability, right? And the TTFS syndrome, which is too tired for sex. And so couples that are busy need to get sex on the calendar. But Dr. Tepper says that facilitated sex, people with disabilities have to schedule it because they have to have their caregiver there. There are lots of ways you can facilitate sex, but it's sensitive for a lot of people, but they need help, and our sexuality is so important to us. And
I don't know if you saw a film from 1979. Sex Therapy for a Quadriplegic Couple.
I haven't looked at that one yet, but I'm making a note. I will be sure and do that.
Well, it shows a couple who have two therapists in the room. They're both paralyzed. And the therapists help get them in position so they can have intercourse.
Uh-huh. Now, the way the laws are written today, I wouldn't be allowed to do that.
No?
No. There's no... The most hands-on kind of therapy I can do, and I can't even witness it. That's why we give homework assignments. But the most I do is, and I always ask for, although some with established clients, I know that they would like a hug at the end of the session, at the door. And it's a non-sexual hug.
Yeah. These people in the room are not the therapists.
Mm. No, I understand they're paraplegic. But didn't you say that their therapists are helping them?
No, they have these two people in the room who are helping them, and they're not therapists.
Oh, I misunderstood you. Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah, I actually have worked with a couple like that where their caregivers help them at home. And help get them in position, and helped. Usually, they need wedges like you would have at Liberator, or they need lots of pillows. I thought that the two pieces of furniture Liberator that it showed really well. I think it was under the disability. It was under Accessible Tantra, Stop, Focus, and Connect. And they showed sexual position. Oh, maybe it was sexual. Oh, that was it. It was sexual positions for men with spinal cord injury, creativity, adaptability, and a sense of humor. And they showed, it was either that one or the other one, they showed the wedge with another little half wedge so that the woman could put her vulva, her genitals, up to the guy in the wheelchair. And this is all done in the film with clothes on, but it shows it very well so that he has access to her clitoris and can perform cunnilingus. And they're both more comfortable.
Hmm.
And that's in your film.
Yeah. It's amazing, you know, what people are putting into the films these days compared to not too many years ago.
That's right. Well,
so, did you want to talk about the documentary.
I do, but are you ready to talk about it? Let me just say, before we get into the documentary, I'll give you a couple more. Usually these films under the disability section of education, they usually run 4 to 6 minutes. They're not long, but you get a very good sense of what's going on, a very good. So I thought one that was really good, and I would send even a lot of my guys without obvious disabilities, except that they have erectile dysfunction, because it really shows very well how the vacuum device is used, mm-hmm. the injection is used, the Muse suppository is used, and then he demonstrates with the help of the rehabilitation nurse, Tiffany, how the implant, how it works. Now, this is surgical, and this is the end of the line sort of for erectile dysfunction. But it's very, very educational because a lot of guys are afraid to use these interventions, these devices.
Well, it's fear of the unknown. If you've never seen them and you don't know anything about them,
mm-hmm.
People are reluctant to use them.
Yes. And seeing it on film, and they have a little penis and testicle kind of thing there that they use as a prop, and that shows how to do it.
And you see someone else using it and using it successfully,
mm-hmm.
it makes it easier to give it a try.
Mm-hmm. And then I watched, we've already touched on this, Sex and the Handicapped, the Swedish film from the early 70s.
Right.
And
there's one scene that is very memorable.
I probably didn't see it because I just watched it for the first few minutes. But I'll go back to it. What's the scene memorable?
There are blind people who, early in the film, when they were getting their sex education.
Oh, I did see that, yeah.
Getting a lesson on anatomy.
Right.
And the student said, we can't see it.
Right.
So my Bergstrom Wallen brings in two nude models and lets the blind students touch the models to learn about anatomy and physiology.
So. I didn't see that one. I saw the ones where they just had the model, you know, not actual model, but a model.
No, that had actual live models.
Yeah, that's so civilized, and so, it's really good sex ed. Yeah, that's wonderful.
And if you saw the expression on these blind teenagers' faces when they were able to, it was like, this is what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So.
We can only imagine how it would be to be without sight. And then I guess I talked already about the pleasure maps, the importance of touch, and the simple head, face, and neck caress. That was beautiful, and how important it is to breathe. It quiets the mind, and it helps you take in the touch. And then Dr. Tepper and Dr. Susan Kay, mm-hmm. showed how you breathe in through the nose, hold it, and then release through the voice. And that brings the erotic energy from the root up through to the heart and then through the whole body. And I thought that was very well demonstrated.
Yeah, I agree with you. He did a great job. And Susan Kay did as well.
And right, she's good. Where does she practice? I don't know her.
I think she's out of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. She's good.
Near, where is it? I think near Widener University.
Okay. So now let's talk about your making love after war. And you have the pilot up on the screen under disability. Mm-hmm. And I was very touched by that. Aaron and Kat.
Keep in mind, this was Mitch Tepper's concept. And he asked me to help him make the film.
Mm-hmm.
So we're collaborating, and basically we're, excuse me, we're finding people who've returned from combat,
mm-hmm.
and some of them have been seriously wounded physically. Some have post-traumatic stress syndrome,
mm-hmm.
and these injuries have affected their ability to be intimate and to make love, and to how they address these issues is really the story.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, they don't get any help, and they have to get all the information on their own, and that's really tough. So we interviewed one couple where both were in the military,
mm-hmm.
and he had some serious physical injuries,
mm-hmm.
and it affected their love life.
Mm-hmm.
And when he went to the VA to get help, they were reluctant to talk to him about sex.
Yes.
But when you think about it, it makes perfect sense, because medical students aren't trained to deal with sexuality.
That's very true.
Now, Dr. Carrie Roth Baer at Morehouse School of Medicine has created a medical curriculum that mm-hmm. deals with sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's geared for medical students. And more medical schools are adapting it and or adopting it, and hopefully that will change this situation that we have today.
Mark, say her name again, the doctor.
Dr. Carrie Roth Baer, B-A-Y-E-R,
okay.
at Morehouse School of Medicine.
Okay.
And they have created a medical school sexuality curriculum, which is free. You know, any medical school can get it.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I wonder how much they're marketing this. It's because
I think they got a grant from the Ford Foundation.
Oh, good. Good for the Ford Foundation.
Yeah. So it would be nice if this was not an issue, but as of today, it is an issue.
Yes, it certainly is.
So, and this person who I described, his wife, was also in the military, and she was sexually abused while she was in the military.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said to her during the interview, didn't you report this? And she said, no.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why not?
Mm-hmm.
She said, because my commanding officer was the one who abused me.
Oh, and then the hierarchy of power.
Yeah. So now she has some issues. So it's a more common story than I would have thought. You know, it's mm-hmm. the kind of story that mm-hmm. people don't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the purpose of this film will be to get the word out, and to that these stories will help other people who are in the same situation, which is the hope. We have a few other interviews that we've done.
Yeah.
And we have one we're lining up, which is actually a woman who was in combat and became blind and deaf.
Oh, no.
Yes. A young woman.
Hmm.
So
how will you communicate with her for the interview?
About a half hour before this show started, I was talking to Mitch Tepper, and I asked him the same question.
Yeah,
and
okay.
He has been texting with her. So we want to find out, you know, if we do an interview on camera, how will we do that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're working on now. But the other interviews,
mm-hmm.
this young man joined the Marines shortly after he got out of college. I'm sorry, out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And during training, say he's about 19 years old, they're gassing them and to teach them to use their gas masks.
Yeah.
And the field where the gassing is being done catches on fire.
Mm.
There are 52 Marines, and they all start running. And he sees one of his comrades falls.
Mm.
He stops. He turns around, runs back to him. He catches on fire.
Mm.
He gets second and third degree burns over 80% of his body.
Oh, it's so tragic.
And so here is a 19-year-old, including his face.
Ah.
So here is a 19-year-old boy who, for the next 10 years, if he saw a woman he was attracted to, he did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because he feared rejection.
Yeah, of course.
So for 10 years, he had no social life from the age of 19 to 29.
Mm-hmm.
And then he met a woman who actually worked in a burn unit.
Mm.
And they started dating. They got married. And when we did the interview, she was 5 months pregnant.
Oh.
So.
Well, of course, as a filmmaker, you're the best storyteller. And these are poignant stories, but they also are so important because so much more needs to be done in this regard to helping the veterans who've had with their sexuality, which has just not been addressed very well.
And what's interesting is, if you look, there are some feature films. There was, I don't know if you remember, Coming Home with Jane Fonda, Bruce Dern, and John Voight.
I do.
Well, that feature film is this story that I'm telling you in 1978.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad part of it is nothing has changed since 1978.
Oh, it's shocking. I mean...
And then the other film, Born on the 4th of July with
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise,
mm-hmm.
He addresses sexuality in that, and no one, so it's the same type of thing. No one talked to him about sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
He came home, they gave him a wheelchair, and, you know, here's a young man who wanted to come home to his girlfriend, marry her, and have a family.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't happen. And this is an all-too-common story.
Mm-hmm. Now, the pilot that people can see on sexsmartfilms.com...
Or at makinglove.org.
Yeah, so it's, Making Love After War, right? No, it's loveafterwar.org.
Yes.
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 I put that in the description on the 13th of December, but I'll put it in again. And so there you have a nice story about, well, it's an inspiring story about Aaron and Pat.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost both of his legs below the kneecap, plus he had testicle damage, and they weren't sure they could have a child.
Right.
And they did.
They did.
And the wife is very articulate, Kat. She says,
yes.
Yeah, she said, well, I was supportive, but we had no outside support, and you have to find support in terms of sexuality and even the fertility business. They wanted a child.
Yeah. And we hear this story over and over from the people we're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at first I was thinking, is this just an isolated happenstance?
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm learning is it's anyone who has an issue with sexuality, it's not being addressed.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, you know, over the years, I've heard this from able-bodied people all the time, that they go to a doctor and the doctor minimizes their sexual problem or dismisses it entirely.
Yes.
And I have a number of women who will say, who report that the doctor says, well, it's aging, you're just getting older, have a glass of wine and relax. And, you know, they just, it's so dismissive and not helpful.
Well, one of the interviews, which I didn't talk about yet, is a guy who was shot and he was paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
The bullet is still in his spine.
Oh.
And for 10 years, he went around in a wheelchair, never went out on a date. And 10 years after this happened, he was gaining weight and he wanted to learn how to use one of these wheelchairs where you pedal with arms.
Uh-huh.
And he went to get lessons and the woman who was teaching him started to date him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said they wanted to have a family.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to the VA and he said, you know, I'm paralyzed. I want to be able to get an erection. And the doctor said, we'll get you one of those pills. And that was the end of the conversation. He handed him a prescription. And it didn't work that well.
No.
But he on his own found that he could use injections.
Yes.
And he was able to get an erection. But then he found out because he was paralyzed, he wasn't able to ejaculate.
Yes, and that's not unusual, as I understand it.
Yes, so then...
when you've been paralyzed.
So then they realized they had to get in vitro, and they did, mm-hmm. and she became pregnant.
Yeah.
So...
and
they have happy endings, but they were...
yes.
Not easy to get to those happy endings.
It no.
was a lot of work.
A lot of work, and there are solutions. And the great thing about the documentary that you and Dr. Tepper are doing is it'll get the word out that much more, and hopefully VA hospitals will see it, and it'll inform them.
I hope VA hospitals will see it, and I hope medical schools will start doing more sex education.
Yeah, I mean, sex education, well, I've been on that bandwagon forever. And thanks to you, I mean, I did a number of sex education films for the Sinclair Institute. I learned actually on Sex Smart Films that they've been doing them since 1991. Well, the first one that I did for them, I wrote and was the only narrator for it, How to Seduce Your Lover Forever. I think that film has gone by the wayside. But That was in 1994. And certainly Sinclair was, and you made films for them for many years, didn't you?
Yeah, for about 8 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing about sex education films,
mm-hmm.
there aren't a lot of them relative to, relative to other subjects. So if there's a good film, a film that has good content,
mm-hmm.
even though the hairstyles might be dated, I always tell people you got to look beyond that.
Right.
You got to look at, is the information accurate?
Right.
Because making a sex education film is difficult. It's difficult mm-hmm. to get funding. It's difficult to get distribution. So that's, which is one of the reasons I created this sexsmartfilms.com.
Mm-hmm.
So I have them all in one place. And I think we have to utilize what we have, because it's not like we're going to make a new film on erectile issues every year, which, you know, if you were doing art history or something like that, they practically do that every year. So,
mm-hmm.
so we have to cherish our films.
Absolutely. You make a very good point. And, I mean, for instance, the Becoming Orgasmic film, or The Science of Orgasm, you've got all of that. Anyway, all the information is there. It looks dated, but it's still relevant information, and it's important for people to look beyond the fact that maybe it was 30 years ago. But you can even look at it in terms of, well, isn't that interesting? And look at the cars, because sometimes you see cars in them.
Well, it's, you know, the film I did 30 years ago called Belly Buttons Are Navels, which is a film about that identifies body parts for young children.
Uh-huh.
Now, that film is still being used. The book, Belly Buttons Are Navels, is still available on Amazon, and it's still selling.
Yeah, well, good.
And but what's interesting is since that came out, there are others that followed the same suit, but there aren't a lot of films and books on that subject. So they stay in circulation for a long time.
And what motivated you to make that film 30 years ago? Because this was fairly early on in your career, wasn't it?
Yeah. I remember being in a classroom and at NYU,
mm-hmm.
and the professor went around the room and asked the students, what was the word you used to identify your genitals as a child, male
mm-hmm.
and female genitals? And if there was 20 students in the class, you got 20 different answers.
Yeah, yeah.
So that really was the most. So, and I think this was the first film and children's book that used the word clitoris.
So, the very first one. Hmm.
So for children. And one publisher wanted to publish it, and they said, we'll publish it if you remove the word clitoris.
And oh, well, so at least we've come a ways in that department.
What's that?
At least we've become a little more enlightened in that area, because, sometimes I will talk about the clitoris with some Indian clients. Couples maybe had arranged marriages in India, and they have no sex education, and then they come here because he's got a job with Microsoft. And I've had several couples that they didn't know where the clitoris was, or its function, or that it had 6,000 to 8,000 nerve fibers compared to the penis's 4,000. I need models and drawings to show them. And my colleague, who is specializes in sexual medicine, Dr. Serena McKenzie, I mean, she does pelvic exams, and she'll have the female in her office and the husband there, too, and she'll actually show the clitoris to his partner, to her partner, and it still doesn't seem to help that much because it helps a bit, but they've got to get a little more comfortable with the whole anatomy. Knowledge is power.
Yeah, and what's interesting is this, which is still novel here, in Scandinavian schools, those anatomy lessons are taught in the first grade.
Yeah. Well, we've come a long way, baby.
Yes.
We have to stop in a minute because they like us to stop a couple minutes before the top of the hour. When you and Dr. Mitchell Tepper get closer to launching the documentary, Making Love After War, I'd like to have both of you on this program. Is that doable,
sure.
Do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely doable.
Yes, and when might that be? Can you say?
I can't say.
No.
I don't want to project because I'll be wrong.
Right, okay. You know from years of making films. Yeah.
Yes.
So I would like to be in touch with Dr. Tepper. I haven't seen him.
I'll put you in touch with him. I'll send you an email to you both.
Okay, terrific. There is the music, so we need to end. Thank you so much, Mark. And also,
thank you, Diana.
It was just another show with a wealth of information. People, go to sexsmartfilms.com. You'll be so glad you did. You'll learn so much. Thank you again, Mark. We'll be in touch. Good night. Bye. Happy feet. Happy feet.